No flip chart today again, I'm afraid. I know you love the flip chart. Okay. I want to read a scripture this morning from Mark 4:35-41. The scripture says, as evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." In this passage, Jesus and the disciples are hit with a storm. No doubt they got into the boat after a long day. They were preaching to the crowds. The surface of the water probably would have been really glossy, and the skylight. Jesus was tired and he went to the back of the boat and he fell asleep. Then the gale force winds hit and they crashed against the boat. Water started to spill into the boat and it looked as though they were going to sink. Understandably, probably as we all would, the disciples panicked and rushed to Jesus. And they were shocked and perhaps a little bit angry that he was sleeping through it all. "Teacher," they cried, "don't you care that we're drowning?" How many of us are dealing with different types of storms in our lives at the moment? Yeah? We have a show of hands? Anybody? Okay. All we have to do is think about some of the horrific things that we see happening over the last few weeks, the last few months. Every time we turn the news on, there's something. Now, that something may not impact us personally, but it's horrific stuff that we see going on in the world today. And then you've got to look back over the last millennium and you just see endless numbers of wars and conflicts, genocide, famine, floods, tsunamis, earthquakes, tornadoes, and the list goes on and on. These kinds of things have killed millions of people worldwide. After these things have happened, how many of us have heard the question asked, "How could God allow this to happen? Why didn't he stop it?" I think we probably all at some stage have heard people ask that question. Perhaps we've asked that question ourselves, but it's definitely something that we've heard other people ask. And then you've got the storms in your personal lives. It may be things that we've relied on for security have been swept away. A parent or a family member or a friend loses their mental capabilities. A loved one is diagnosed with cancer. Someone in our family loses their job. A close friend is killed in a car accident. Someone close dies of a sudden illness. A family member goes to prison. And it doesn't even have to be the big stuff that we deal with, the smaller stuff every single day that we deal with. As the children go back to school, how many storms are they going to have to face? You know, and sometimes we think, oh, it's not as important. It's not as significant as the big stuff. But as our kids go back to school, let's remember to pray for them, because the storms that will hit them will be very, very real to them. When these things happen, it can feel like everything's falling apart beneath us. And again, if we ever ask God, "God, are you asleep? Don't you care that we're drowning?" Each of us knows from one experience or the next what it's like to be caught in a storm, to feel alone, and like the disciples, to feel very afraid. We may fear rejection, we may fear disapproval, we may fear failure, we may fear illness, death. In this story, Jesus challenges his disciples and he's challenging us to turn to him, the Lord of the wind and the waves, and trust that he is not only more powerful than any storm that we go through, but to trust that we are not alone in that boat. Jesus goes through every single one of those storms with us. You know, as we look at the message, it's really important to note that Jesus doesn't say there's nothing to be afraid of. The winds and the waves were very, very real. They were a very dangerous threat. Instead, Jesus asks, why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet? Imagine this scenario. A child wakes up in the middle of the night, frightened by a dream, scared that some monster lives under the bed. And a parent rushes to the child's room and whispers gently, there's nothing to be afraid of. And as comforting as those words are, is there in this world really nothing to be afraid of? Okay, so there's definitely no monsters lurking under the bed. Okay, that just doesn't happen, no monsters. But there are other things in this world that are lurking. Saying that there's nothing to be afraid of is very, very different from saying, don't be afraid. Because the hard truth of the matter is that there are scary things in the world. There's isolation, there's pain, there's loss, there's rejection, losing a job, failure, hatred, murder. But as we grow in faith, we come to understand that even though those things, those horrible things are real, they don't have to have the final word in our lives. They don't have to have ultimate power over us, because God is mightier than any storm. Time and time again, rather, we read the words in the Bible, do not be afraid. And they're often the first and last words in the gospel. They were the first words that the angels said to the frightened shepherds. They're the first words spoken to the woman at the tomb when they find the woman when she finds the tomb empty. And they're the first words spoken by the risen Christ to the disciples who are hiding in the upper room. Don't be afraid, not because there's not dangerous and terrible things around, but don't be afraid because God is with us. Instead of saying there's nothing to be afraid of, the truth really for the mother trying to reassure the scared child was, don't be afraid because you're not alone. I'm with you. But sadly, too many of us think that we are alone, and so we fear, and fear is what can ruin lives. What robs us of the ability to enjoy life? What fear are we allowing to take hold of our lives right now that's prevented us from moving on? And fear causes people to do irrational and stupid things. Things that we would never normally dream of doing if we felt secure. And fear is largely the motivation behind bullying, fights, wars. Again, I come back to the kids. You know, as the kids are going back to school, there's a lot of fear in schools. And fear does cause us to do silly things. Really, really pray for our children as they go back to school. In 1 John, we're told God is love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. The person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. The disciples cried out in the boat, teacher, don't you care that we're drowning? Jesus got up and gave orders to the wind. And he said to the lake, silence, be still. Jesus then turned to his disciples and said, why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet? Now, faith doesn't mean that we won't have problems, that we won't face threats, that we won't face dangers in our lives. There's a story told about a woman who is in a plane, and the plane started to have engine trouble. And then the pilot made an announcement that they were going to try and make an emergency landing. The woman took her husband's hand, and they offered up a simple prayer of faith. They prayed, the light of God surround us, the love of God enfold us, the power of God protect us, and the presence of God watch over us. Wherever we are, God is. The woman later said that she knew the prayer would not stop the plane from crashing necessarily, if that's what was going to happen. But instead, it was a declaration of their confidence that living or dying, God was with them. They were in his care. Now that's peace. That's comfort. That's strength and that's faith. When we cry out in pain, we may find that we aren't delivered from the situation, but instead we are given the grace to endure it and be victorious no matter what may happen. We've just sung a song about how big God's grace is. Just think of Jesus in the prayer, as he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked to be spared from the agony of the cross. But he also prayed, not your will, but mine. Not my will, but yours even. He wasn't spared. Instead, he was strengthened to go through it. When the storm hit the boat in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was reminding the disciples that whether their lives were spared or not, they would not fall out of his hand. Where is God when the storms of life rage around you? Do you believe that God is right there in the boat with you, as he was with Jesus and the disciples? Even though there are frightening and horrible things in this life, they don't have to paralyze us. They don't have to stop us looking to God. They don't have to have power over us, and they certainly don't have to own us. Because through faith in the God who raised Jesus from the dead, we can know that we are never alone in the boat. Jesus is always with us. And that's all that really matters. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, "So do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is with us no matter what fearful time that we are going through. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." I will help you. Understand that we cannot do it on our own. He gives us his word to hide in our hearts when we're scared, his Holy Spirit to comfort us, family to help us, prayer, friendship. Romans 8 verse 15 says, "The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." Fears tend to grow sometimes out of control. The more you're afraid, the less you live a life that God has for you. Being afraid is like being in prison, but God has set us free. And as his children, we can trust in him because he's a good father. 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Now that's not a criticism for those of us who fear. That's a promise. Jesus' love for us is perfect. He showed us that by dying on the cross to rescue us from our sins. Perfect love is the only thing that can drive out fear. And we need to let him be that perfect love in our lives. And Psalm 34 verse 9 says, "Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need." If we fear, or if we trust God more than we fear the world, we show him honour and love. The verse says that we will lack nothing. In other words, we'll be given everything we need. And that's a promise that's worth holding on to. So in closing, because it is a short service, it's just one simple thing to take away with us today. And that is, do not fear, for God is with us. I'm going to ask all the children to come out the front. They're going to love me for this one. And Tracy's going to come out the front as well. How many of you know the song with Jesus in the boat? Tracy's going to lead from the front. Come on, youngsters, out you come.